Blog Talk Radio.
What's up?
Hallelujah. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. I am your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 3:34 Pacific Standard Time, Wednesday, May the 4th, 2016, and we're glad to be here. God bless each and every one of you here, those on Friend Life, those on the Prodigal Church Hour broadcast, those that are looking in for Periscope for the evening. Good afternoon, wherever you may be, if you're around the world, We might be saying good morning to you as well. Hey, we're glad to be here. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. I want to thank everybody, those who have been participating, fellowshipping with us as we've been going through this wonderful book of Proverbs and on our little short periscopes and friend life scopes that we do throughout the day. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. You know, sometimes, you know, hey, you be looking like, you know, well, I don't have more people on here. But you know what? It's not about the numbers. It's about the heart. You come in Jesus' name. You come in to hear the word. That's what it's most. That's the most important thing we're here for, is to give the word out for those that want it. And again, friends, I thank you for your prayers, and you know, I thank you for your support for being here for me, and just being here to encourage me, because I get encouraged when I see the people placing hearts, or when they stand, you know, hey, thank the Lord, or amen, hey, that's encouraging, and lets me know that, hey, what I'm doing means something. Most importantly, it's about God getting the glory. Not about me getting the glory, but, you know, I want to know that, hey, I'm serving him and his people. That's what's up, you know. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. We're not going to be here long today because I only got about six verses, but I can't make it 2 hours, but I'm not going to do that. But let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll, you know, have a couple announcements. And for those that's on Friend Life, we're in Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 12 through 18, Proverbs 9, verse 12 through 18, we're talking about the two invitations, the road to wisdom, the road to foolish, or the danger. Verses 12 through 18 is the danger of foolish living, dangers of foolish living. So let's go before the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another time, another opportunity to come before your people, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you would just use me as your vessel today, Lord God, that I may speak nothing but the oracles of God, and that the word of God may penetrate the stony heart, Lord, as well as the heart that's ready to receive it. We ask, Father God, that you would bring people, those who might be foolish here, some might be living a foolish life, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, that you would rescue them and snatch them out of the fire of hell, that you would bring them into a place of peace, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We know that wise living is what you require for, desire for. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would touch, talk to every one of us, that we may hear from heaven, that we may make a wise decision and to walk with Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, we bless you. May I decrease, may you increase. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. For those that don't know, you can follow me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. And you can also click on the link there, which links you into the Prodigal Church Hour website or Prodigal Church Hour radio ministry, where you can listen to over 600 messages on Blog Talk Radio. Or you can go to Minister Big Ken 65. The link is at the top of the screen. For those that's on Friend Life as well as on a Periscope. So for those that don't know, you can always go back and listen to every broadcast, or at least the broadcast that we do on the Prodigal Church Hour. And Lord willing, we'll be putting some stuff together as far as a website. And so for those that would like to be able to interact with us, be able to listen to more messages, we want to be able to have that available. I also want to invite you guys to, if you feel led by the Lord, that, hey, you can donate now. You go to the GoFundMe account. It's also in the account box of Friend Life, and it's also on Periscope, the GoFund account. If you would like to be a donor to this ministry, $5 a month is all I'm asking. If you feel led to give more, that's between you and God. But all I'm asking is $5 a month to every person that participates or comes and listens. And that, you know, hey, only if you feel led by the Lord. No pressure, no duress, nobody's promising anybody anything. I'm asking for those who can think about it, prayerfully consider it, and I would be much appreciative so we can keep the radio ministry going strong and going long. Amen? So, and I promise you, the money will be used for God's glory and be used for the ministry, but things do cost. So only if you prayerful, if you prayed about it and the Lord leads you to do it, know that that's something that you can participate in. It's not going to break you. So with that being said, let's go on. Again, as usual, if you are looking for a church home in the L.A. area, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you're seeking a church home, please consider coming to Core Church of L.A. You can go to the website. I'll just give you the website, www.corechurchla.org, corechurchla.org. From there, you can be able to get the location. You can listen to past sermons that Pastor Steve Wilburn has done. But if you're looking for a church home and you're not in Los Angeles and you might be not familiar how to search for what a good church home is, a place of fellowship, and please get with me on Facebook. Hit me up at Daryl Kendrick on Facebook and send me an email or send me a message. Let me know that you're looking for a church home. I will do some research and find you a place of worship where you will be in good standing. Because we all need to be around a place where we can get fed. We can get fed spiritually. Too many false teachers out here for that. So I'm trying to get people aware of, don't sit up under any false teacher, mega churches that try to teach you that all they want to do is pimp you out of money, and they never give you the word. You know, that's not God's place of worship. And say, I'm in London, can help us for a church. Okay, all right. All right, so if anybody's in London, Brother Robert said he can help you find a place of worship. So for those that might be overseas, hey, there's some Calvary chapels out there. Just all you got to do is reach out to me. I'll do my best to help you find a place. I don't care where you're at. Just give me a zip code or a country. We'll help you find a place. God's churches or places of fellowship are all over, all over. So, hey, don't ever think that you can't be ministered to from the word of God. God has his people all over the world. So just know that, hey, you're not alone, and God will never leave you or abandon or forsake you. Amen. So let's get into the second portion. Yesterday we left off. We started in Proverbs chapter 9, and I always have intentions of finishing it, but just sometimes, hey, 2 hours just go by so quick, or an hour and a half. Sometimes it goes by very quick, and hey, you know, I try to be obedient to the Spirit, and I want to, you know, definitely give out the Word of God and not give you out crumbs. I want you to get it. So I need to get it. We all need to get it. And yesterday we learned about, as we opened this up, we talked about the importance of these two roles, two women, so to speak, that the Bible personifies wisdom, but it also personifies folly, which is another word of foolish living, which would be the opposition of living in wisdom or walking in wisdom, and those who walk in folly, which would be foolishness. And which would be another word, way of walking in self-destruction, so to speak, because when you and I don't walk in wisdom, we're not walking with God. So to walk away from God is to walk in self-destruction, i.e., you're basically disobedient and rebellious, and God is not going to bless that mess, right? So we looked at the woman who personifies wisdom, verses 1 through 12, and we went through a great serious, we looked at the fact that her preparation of wisdom is a beautiful home, a large house with seven pillars. We also looked at that. The number seven is the number of completeness, and it was compared to the sevenfold qualities of wisdom described by James. In James 3:17, he told us, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then is peaceable, is gentle, is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. We also saw the sumptuous peace that the preparation of wisdom gives us. It's not just preparing us physically, but it does prepare, you know, it does meet our needs. Earlier today we talked about in Psalms 23, and the Lord lays a table down before us. You know, he feeds us, he clothes us, takes care of us. And we see here that wisdom takes care of us. Her sumptuous feast, meat, wine are furnished at the table. We see that carefully prepared, beautifully presented, Lady Wisdom has made great effort in making provisions for us, just like our shepherd does. He makes great provision. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I should not be lacking anything when I have, I shouldn't be lacking anything when I'm seeking after the Lord, because he's already met my need. Not my greed, but he's given me everything I need to live a godly life. So spiritually first, God is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our physical needs, but God wants to take care of us spiritually. He wants to make sure that we're being spiritually fed, that we're being encouraged and built up in our most holy faith. But you can eat a buffet of food, but you can still be dead in your sin. You can still be spiritually bankrupt. And I think you have to have that. Of course, you have to have that balance. You want to have that balance. Look, we can go, when we go out there and minister to a homeless person, yes, we should minister to them, but meet the need first. Hey, if they're homeless and they need some food, hey, you take them and feed them, then sit down and give them a spiritual meal, something that they can have for eternity. Invite them to know Jesus Christ and eat at his table. Amen? So we saw here, also, she has a plea. She pleads for, she wants to be heard. Wisdom wants to be heard. And she has sent out her maiden. She cries out from the highest place. We learn that God has sent out his disciples. He sent out the first apostles. He trained them up for 3.5 years so that they would go out. Now, God could have did it any other way he wanted to, because he's God. So we always ask, well, why did God do it this way or do it that way? God did it the way he wanted us to do it because he's God. Hey, I don't know the mind of God, but I would suppose that if God had gave us the easy way on anything, we would have just always been looking to take the easy way. Most people in the body of Christ want the easy way now. But God says, you look at how the life of Joseph. Joseph went through some great trials and tribulations, not to mention detours that would take him all the way around, all through some different obstacles, just so he could be, just so that at the end, Joseph knew that, hey, God was with him. He learned all these lessons going through the trials. The man was put in prison. The man was, wait a minute, first of all, his own brothers threw him in a pit. Look, his own family did him wrong. A lot of times our families would do us wrong, right? Then not to mention, when his family did him wrong, hey, he was taken captive into Egypt. So now he's a slave. He had favor with Pharaoh. Pharaoh puts him as, he's the next man in control of the house of Pharaoh. Then the wife betrays him. The wife tries to seduce him. She's a harlot. She's trying to get in bed with Joseph. Joseph is a man of integrity. What does Joseph do? He rejects it, but he can still get put in prison again. He's down there in prison. He speaks to, he gives the baker, he tells him a dream. The baker goes up there, instead of telling Pharaoh what had happened, he forgets about Joseph. And Joseph spends years in prison until there came a time when Joseph speaks and he has another dream. And it was all God's timing in this, though. It was all God's timing. I said all this to say the fact that don't ever think that when we're going through something, it's always God judging us. He wasn't judging Job when Job went through what he went through. But Job had to learn a valuable lesson, and the valuable lesson was is that, hey, no matter what happens, we need to stand fast. No matter what affliction may come upon us, we need to be steadfast and unmovable, grounded and rooted in the Word of God, that we don't sin against God to try to jump, you know, try to get away from what's going on. I think a lot of times people miss the blessing because they say, it's just too much, Lord, I can't handle it. No, it's not that you can't handle it. You chose to forfeit what God had for you for peace and comfort. And God doesn't always want us to have peace and comfort. He wants us to go through the refiner's fire so that we grow. And as we grow, then we, guess what? We mature. And see, when you mature, then you can bring others along through the faith because you can let them know, hey, I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you what I went through. I'm telling you that, hey, I had to go through all of this pain and suffering, but God brought me through, and he brought me through the refiner's fire, and I'm fine as gold now. I've been purified. Nobody wants to suffer. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to die. But God says, hey, all who live, desire to live godly shall suffer persecution. So the more that we are standing in by faith in the Word of God, the more that we're resisting the enemy's attacks, and we're putting on the full armor of God, knowing that, hey, God already won the war. We're going through this battle right now, but God has already won the war. It's a done deal. So we see here again, wisdom wants to be heard. He wants to be heard, and God will send us out. He wants us to go out into the highways and byways, and we're his mouthpiece, that we're his feet, we're his hands. He wants us to go out and share this message of hope with those who seem to have hope, who seem to be hopeless. They seem to have a discouraged. They're discouraged. There's many people out there that don't know Jesus really loves them. Why? Because they don't see the love of Jesus, and he wants to use us to be that light in dark places. There's a lot of people that have been church hurt because they saw another form of, they saw not love, but they saw their brothers and sisters who came against them. Instead of building them up in the faith, they tore them down. And some people are not, you know, we got a lot of false secret agent, you know, satanic or Satanists in the church. You know, they come in as wolves, they come in as, you know, sheep, but they're really wolves in sheep clothing. And guess what? They come in to tear down the body of Christ. I've been attacked. I've had church hurt. Some of you right now have had some church hurt. And guess what? We could use that as an excuse not to be a part of a fellowship, but God won't let us get away with it. God is not going to let that be an issue for us. It doesn't matter how many people will hurt us. We have to know that God is faithful. It just means that you might have been in the wrong place. And because you didn't leave there quick enough, you got hurt more. But the point is that God will give us a doorway. He will give us an exit way out. And we need to know when it's time to go. Don't ever be afraid to walk away from a place that's not healthy, where you can't be fed and you can't be loved on. See, some people are good at feeding the sheep, but they also beat the sheep. But God doesn't beat his sheep. God wants us to know him and know that he loves us. And he will never put us in a position where he's going to be abusing us or we will be abused. You're never to go to any place where God will try to manipulate you or beat you up with Malachi. And I'm going to beat you with, you didn't pay your tithes and offering, you wicked, wicked person. That's not how God works. Not God, how God does. Or you're in a place where, hey, you can't even be ministered to unless you sow a seed. But I don't have it, Pastor. Well, you need to go out there and you need to stand on faith. And you didn't get it because you don't have enough faith. Well, how about you give it to me, Pastor? You driving around in a Bentley. See, I got a problem with these millionaire pastors that don't want to open their pockets to give back to the congregation that's blessing them. There's a lot of poor people in the church. They don't want to give a dime back to the people. They don't want to love the people enough to tell them, hey, man, I know you can't pay your light bill. You can't pay your rent. Hey, brother, keep between me and you. Hey, here's no questions asked. They give back. No, they're too busy giving to their other friends that are false teachers as well. But they're not giving nothing to the people. They beat the sheep, and then they're going to give their money. The false teacher gives to another false teacher who gives to another false teacher. But how about the poor people in the church? What did Jesus say? Wait a minute. Did that God say we're supposed to take care of the poor? And you're not supposed to treat the poor like they some kind of dick, they're some kind of lazy bums. Some people are poor because they can't work no more. What did James say? James told us here that we're not to treat people like, you know, isolate or treat them like some kind of, you know, less than. What did James say here? He says, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, when you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no hope doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Then he says what? Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat, and withers the grass, his flower falls, and his beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. So we see here, you know, we got false teachers, and guess what they do? You know, they brag about their money. They brag about their money, which I guarantee you, you can't go to these folks. You can't go to these folks and ask them for any help. Now, they sitting on millions and millions of money that came from offerings, but they don't want to offer a dime back to the people that's in need. People that, you know, you got families that got 6 or 7 kids, but you can't even buy them groceries. You won't even reach out to these folks, but you want to talk about faith. Where's your faith at, Pastor? I can't call them preachers. I can't call them men of God because they basically, all they do is rob and steal and kill. And all they do is beat people with Malachi. And that's just flat out spiritual abuse. That's spiritual abuse. Because see, if you really read Malachi, he was jumping on the pastors first because they was coming in giving their false idol or they were giving a blemished sacrifice. They weren't even giving the best sacrifice. He was jumping on the priest first. But everybody want to quote Malachi. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? A lot of these preachers are robbing God, if you really look at it. They ain't flying Jesus around in their $60 million plane. They ain't taking Jesus in their Bentleys. But they sure do claim Jesus bought it for them. There's a problem with that. And we need to be wise, friends. We need to really be wise. We need to be discerning. We need to judge what is good versus that which is evil. We need to know what God's word says so that we don't be duped. But we pay enough folks as is. You gotta pay the IRS. You know you gotta pay them. They're coming after you. They're gonna take your money whether you want it or not. If you don't pay them now, you will pay them later with interest. But why should you pay false teachers who not even feeding the flock, but all they're doing is eating themselves? They keep feasting on everybody else, including you, but they're not feeding you nothing. So we learn here again, going back to Proverbs, that her plea was that she would be heard. She invites the simple and those who lack understanding, Proverbs 4:4-6, to eat, drink of her prepared feast, to forsake foolishness and live to go in the way of understanding. Why she won't invite scoffers? She won't invite scoffers because a scoffer, to invite a scoffer to your house is to invite a fool to your house. Invite somebody that's wicked, somebody that's going to turn against you. You try to correct them, and they don't want to hear what correction is. They don't want to be told what's right or wrong. So they turn away from truth to the lie. And when you go to correct them, they turn on you. Correcting a scoffer only shames and harms the one doing the correcting. Some people you have to let go and let God have. You know, it's kind of like this. Remember we talk about the in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, how the man who was sleeping with his father's wife, he wouldn't have wanted to be corrected. If he didn't want to be corrected, you had to excommunicate him. You had to send him away. Hey, no, you can't fellowship here in your sin. You can't serve here in the body of Christ in your sin. So you got to go until you're ready to repent. Unfortunately, today's churches allow anybody and everybody in there with a name behind them, and as long as they got money, you're more than welcome to stay here if you got a bunch of money. You're more than welcome to stay. As long as you got deep pockets, we don't care if you're sinning. We don't care if you're cheating on your wife. We don't care if you leave your wife and remarry 10 other women. As long as you keep passing the money here, you're welcome here, brother. You're going to still be a brother, and you ain't going to lose your position. See, today's churches, friends, when it comes to integrity, you can be as sinful as you want to, but as long as you got big pockets. Not all these churches. We're talking about these churches, the ones that pimp you, the ones that promote the gospel of greed and covetous. See, the only gospel they're giving you is a gospel, hey, come to Jesus so you can come bring more money to us. We want you to say this prayer, but we dare not. Don't dare commit to Christ. But see, I need you to give me your money. And if you're a female and you're real fine in here, you might have to watch out for that snake or that wolf that's trying to get a hold of some lamb's meat. So you have to watch out for these false teachers. But they deceptive. They scoffers. They scorners. They don't want no correction. You can't go and tell these big-time bishops and apostles and whatever they call themselves now and prophets. You can't correct them. They love foolishness. They love immorality. My Bible says they're fools. They're fools. Let's look at some definitions of fools, and let's look at some scriptures of fools. A fool is someone who is unwise. He or she lacks sense and lacks judgment. A fool is someone who is unwise, lacks sense, and lacks judgment. Fools don't want to learn the truth. They laugh at the truth. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 1. They're simple-minded. They're scoffers. They're foolish. They don't want no truth. They laugh at it and turn their eyes away from the truth. Fools are wise in their own eyes, failing to take in wisdom and advice, which will be their downfall. The failure to take in wisdom will be their downfall and advice. They don't want counsel. They don't want godly advice. All they want is their foolishness, which will be their downfall. They suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We've seen this before. Romans chapter 1 says this about this foolish person, this person that does not like righteousness and wants to live in darkness. He tells us here, remember, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." They suppress the truth. They suppress it. It's kind of like somebody taking truth and putting it in a vise, and you're just going to smash it. You're going to smash it till it's powder. You don't want no part of truth. It says, although the evidence from conscience and God's word irrefutable, men choose to resist and oppose God's truth by holding fast their sin. They hold fast their sin. See, when you give somebody truth and they don't want to be corrected by it, they don't want to be wise and walk in wisdom and repent of their sin and say, "Hey, I'm going to walk in wisdom. I get it, brother. Thank you for pulling my coattail. Thank you, sister, for pulling my coattail." See, when a person doesn't want to do that, then they basically, all they're doing is basically telling you that they love lies. They love foolishness. They're okay with their lifestyle. That's why, you know, when we look at the world we live in and America as a whole, I look at some of these political candidates right now acting like stone fools. Look at how they debate. It's no respectable debates no more. That's why I don't get in. Look, this has been the most childish group of people I've ever seen in my life. All they do is attack each other, but they're not even talking about issues anymore. And people are winning. And people are voting for the foolish ones. They support foolishness and ungodly behavior. But it doesn't matter. Because God is showing us the picture of what happens to people without him, without wisdom. But it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you have, you can still be a fool. You can still be a moron. He says, they have wickedness in their hearts. They are lazy, proud, they slander others, and they live in repeat foolishness. Living in sin is fun for a fool. It's not wise to desire their company because they will lead you down a dark path. Fools rush into danger without wise preparation and thinking about the consequences. Scripture keeps people from being foolish, but sadly, fools despise the word of God. Remember, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and understanding. Here's a few quotes from some people. Plato says, quote, "Wise men speak because they have nothing to say, fools because they have to say something. Wise men speak because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something." That's what Plato said. Thomas Fuller said this, quote, many have been the wise speeches of fools, though not so many as the foolish speeches of wise men. In other words, they don't expect a foolish man to give you a wise, to be wise in what he says. Another one from Thomas Fuller says, a wise man may look ridiculous in the company of fools. Hey, don't try to speak to a wise, don't try to have a discussion. I've had this mistake many times when I ended up being looking like a fool, trying to have a debate with a foolish person. Because they make you look foolish. Even though what you say comes from the word of God, sometimes you have to let a fool be a fool and leave him alone. Don't sit there and have these debates with him because the fool says in his heart there is no God. Why do I need to debate with him? Me trying to convince him of his foolishness and to make him aware is foolishness on my part. God is the only one that can quicken him and make him alive. Nothing I'm going to be able to say to him. All I need to do is preach the gospel. If he hears it, maybe he'll repent and turn from his foolishness. But for me to sit there and try to talk to a fool makes me foolish. So we see here that there's two roads that we were told that there's a road of wisdom. Lady Wisdom takes us on the road to Christ and then crucified, that we will be wise in our days and times on earth. And then there's a road of folly. There's a way of folly, which is another lady foolishness, so to speak. She leads you to the road to destruction. Remember, as we were going through this in Proverbs chapter 7, we learned about that immoral woman, and her path leads to death, and it leads to Sheol, it leads to hell. If you follow the immoral woman, you have no choice but to fall into hell's trap, because she is setting a trap for you. So this lady that we're looking at here, as we look through this road, we look on this invitation of the woman of folly, verses 13 through 18, we see her preparation. Verse 13, her preparation. We see a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and she knows nothing. What does the word clamorous here mean here? I have to take a look in my Bible dictionary over here. The word clamorous. Have it typed up here. The word clamorous. The words mean something. They sit here for us to know. This is making a loud and confused noise. Expressing or characterized vehement protests or demands. This woman screams loud, but she doesn't scream loud with wisdom. She's not warning anybody. She's making a loud noise, a confusing noise. She's speaking, but she's not saying nothing of value. All she speaks is foolishness, clamorous, a clamorous woman. We see that she's not wise. She's not somebody you want to follow home. Not somebody you want to follow anywhere. Remember, we're talking about, this is a personification of folly. Not necessarily a woman, but the Bible is using the personification of a woman, the Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Two different roles. Which one will we choose? Which one will we be on? Again, he tells us here. Verse 13, the woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. Oh, yeah, she knows how to use flattering speech. Remember, we learned about that, about this woman whose words, they drip honey, but they're not words that you want to take in. They're seductive. They're enticing. They lead you away from truth. They lead you to truth. From verses 13 to 18, we need to understand this feast of folly is described as offered by the foolish hostess. Note the contrast with Lady Wisdom and the immoral woman. If you look at chapter 7, verse 6 to 23, how we learned about that immoral woman. She has the same heart or same attributes as this foolish woman, or the lady of folly. And God says, Don't look at this. Don't listen to this clamorous woman. Don't listen to her. The woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. Verse 14, she sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest, she takes a seat on the highest places of the town. Many people, they want to be on the high places. They want to be in places where they think they're going to gain some. Thank God. Proverbs 18:2-3 says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Doing wrong leads to disgrace, and scandalous behavior brings contempt. Fools have no interest in understanding. The folly, the lady folly, that's what she leads you to. The more lack of wisdom, lack of understanding, opinions that have no value, doing wrong leads to disgrace, and scandalous behavior brings contempt. What's happening? Look at the world we live in. When you follow the road, folly's road, when you're on the road to folly, you have nothing to look forward to because you lack understanding. You don't know right from wrong because you lack judgment. Right judgment, making the right decision. You lack discernment. You reject discernment, matter of fact. I don't want to deal with that. You just say, you throw your hands up and say, I just give in to foolish behavior. That's why people follow this. Because, hey, for a season it feels good. But at the end of it all, what do you really gain? What do we really gain by following? Look, on the road to wisdom, when you live in a life of wisdom and why and God being guided by the Holy Spirit, then you don't have to worry about being led astray by seductive spirits, by seducing spirits, and by your own foolishness. We all can be foolish, but we have to make a choice to be wise at some point. Look, you don't go out on a major interstate walking up and down or skipping across the highway and think you won't get hit. At some point, you're going to get hit by a car, especially during rush hour. So if you and I decide that we want to go play on the interstate, that would be foolishness. That would be foolishness, right? But many people are playing on highways all around the world. They're playing on different highways of sin, immorality. They don't want no wisdom. They don't want to be educated in God's word. So therefore, what do? They continue to play on this merry-go-round. They can continue to live a life that's contrary to the will of God, contrary to the word of God. Therefore, they continue to be foolish. They continue to be foolish. And we see here that the woman of folly is loud, she is seductive, and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town. In other words, she's waiting for a prey. She's waiting for somebody. She's going to get somebody. She's going to trip up somebody. I'm going to get you. That's how she does. She's waiting to trip you up. She sits at the door of her house. Unlike Lady Wisdom, who sent out her maidens to be heard, she sits on a high seat by the highest places of the city. When Lady Wisdom also cries out, note that woman folly cries out for a seated position. She's lazy. She's immoral. She's contemptuous. She's simple-minded. Remember, this is really a personification of Lucifer, because Lucifer wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Where Lady Wisdom wants to lead you to Christ, Lady Wisdom is a standard of the personification of Christ. I would say Lady Folly is a personification of Satan himself. Therefore, she's leading you into destruction, hell. Remember when back here in Proverbs 7, we were told, Proverbs 6 as well. He says, let me go back to Proverbs 7 here. He says, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your hearts. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Solomon said all of that just to say, hey, this is all so you stay away from foolishness. Stay away from lady folly. I don't want you to be her plea. I don't want you to hear, take heed to her foolishness. I don't want you to take heed to those things that will lead you into a simple way and lead you and give you lack of understanding. Lady Folly is foolish. She's lazy. She's seated in a position to take you captive by way of when you walk past her. See, if you don't walk on by, then you'll stop and listen to her foolishness. You'll stop and take heed to her counsel. And she calls those who pass by, verses 15 through 16, especially the simple, especially the simple. It's so easy to be led astray by the simple. You know, if God can, if we're not feeding our spiritual man and growing in the Word of God, you're going to grow apart. He says to call to those who pass by, verse 15, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, this is how we get caught up. Verse 15 and 16, chapter 9. Again, he says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, common sense, she says, stolen waters are sweet. Stolen waters are sweet. See, we see here in verse 15 and 16, calling to those who pass by. A, she's reaching out to you. She's trying to seduce you. She's trying to take you captive. That's what folly does. It wants to catch us lacking wisdom, lacking common sense, and it takes us captive. It calls out to us, and if we're not filled with wisdom, if we're not filled with understanding, if we're lacking in knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people lack knowledge. They perish for lack of knowledge. They perish because they refuse to get wisdom. They refuse to get understanding. And each and every one of us have been guilty of this at some time, and you have to be wise. You have to be feeding your spirit, man, on a daily basis so that you will not lack in being a fool. I mean, you will not lack in being caught up in this road of folly. She calls to those who pass by. But let me go back. Let's look back here, verse 15 and 16 again, though. Calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. In other words, they were going in the right direction until they stopped and take heed to her. They were doing all right. Then verse 16, it says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. See, she's looking to trap you up. Folly is looking to trap either any one of us up at any given time, because foolishness will always search for you. Folly will always search for you. If you're lacking sense, if you're lacking wisdom and instruction, it's going to catch you. Proverbs 10:18-19 says, he that hideth hatred is, not that one, he said. Again, we're looking at some of these scriptures on foolishness and how it can catch us up. He says, Proverbs 29:20, there's more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. There's more hope for a fool than someone who speaks without thinking. Isaiah 32:6, for the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity, to practice ungodliness. And it says, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. For the fool speaks folly, Isaiah 32:6 says, for the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity, and to practice ungodliness. The lady folly, this is what she offers you, more foolishness, more ungodly practice, iniquity. Remember, lady folly is a personification of Satan, of evil, that which is sin. We wrap all of that, everything that is against God, that's what lady folly offers you. Everything that is against God Almighty, this is what Lady Folly offers. But we don't have to buy into the trap. We should be wise enough to say, you know what? I'm going to walk on the road of wisdom. I'm going to be a wise man. I'm not going to be a fool or woman. Proverbs 18:6-7. Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating.
Wow.
Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. That's deep. Again, he says, calling to those who pass by, the lady folly is sitting on the high places. She's looking down to be seductive, to be a trap, to be a snare, to catch you up in foolishness. But God's word of wisdom will lead us out of the trap. See, this person was walking on a straight road, but they did. They made a detour. They started listening to the foolish one. They started listening to the mouths of fools. And if any time we start to take heed or take counsel from anyone who lacks wisdom, we're following a fool. It could be a false teacher. It could be somebody in the world. It could be anybody. It could be any person. We need to recognize who Lady Folly is so that we don't be caught up in her trap. And it's not necessarily a female. This is just the personification of Lady Folly, which is sin, which is evil, which is wicked, which is to turn us away from what is wisdom and turn us to foolish behavior and sin and iniquity and ungodly living. You and I have to decide which road we're going to follow. God has a plan for us. So does Satan, though. And we have to decide whose plan are we going to submit to. Will we submit to that which is wise, living a life that's going to lead us to all truth and lead us to righteousness and godly behavior and godly living and the blessings that God Almighty has for us? Or do we follow the trappings of that person, the one who will lead us to hell and destruction and eternal judgment with him? See, Satan already knows where he's going. He's trying to keep you from going where God wants you. He's trying to recruit you for hell. Hell was never meant for mankind, but guess what? Satan already opened the doors in the garden. And he's been inviting people in ever since Adam and Eve. He's been inviting more and more souls who have not taken hold of wisdom, who have not embraced wisdom. You have no choice but to embrace foolishness. You know, it's foolishness to reject Christ. It's foolishness to reject the gospel message. What other hope do you have if you don't receive Christ? What do you think you're going to do? Wait a minute. Matter of fact, it would be foolish to play with God, to think that you can have a part-time religion or part-time worship with God and you live as a fool. It makes no sense. Why would you? Wait a minute. You think you can manipulate God and play the fool and be a fool Monday through Saturday, but on Sundays you want to go into the house of the Lord and you know you don't love Him. You know you're not walking with Him. You know you aren't serious about your worship. The worship is just words. You're walking into a place of worship, but you cannot worship God in spirit and truth because you're a fool. You lack wisdom. You reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will reject you. This is the way of foolishness. This is the way of folly. He goes on to say in verse 16, let's go back here again. Let's finish this up. We're told here in verse 16 again. He says, she calls to those who pass by, especially the simple. You know, somebody that just don't get it. They rejected it. They don't want it. They don't want wisdom. They rejected wisdom. Their wisdom cries out to them, and they say, oh, no, I don't want wisdom. You know, God is calling them to repent and turn in and come in and eat at the table of wisdom. As we saw, the table is already laid out back in the earlier chapter. Earlier part of this the same chapter. We already saw that wisdom has got a table, a buffet for us. She wants to feed us. She's carefully prepared. She's beautifully presented. Lady Wisdom has made great effort in making provisions for us. You don't have to be one who is simple. You don't have to be one that's lacking what God has for you. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to eat at his table where we can gain knowledge and understanding. What do you think you're going to, what table, what do you think she's going to feed you in? What do you think the Lady Folly is going to feed you? She can't give you nothing. She can't feed you manna. You can't eat there. So her promise is this, that stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Because you can't eat at the table of wisdom, this is what you're going to eat. She says stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. An allusion to the illicit intercourse. Whether it's spiritual or physical, you can have an illicit intercourse because if you claim to be a child of God, but you're walking, following idolatrous behavior or having another relationship with a particular idol, quote-unquote, i.e., another, quote-unquote, God, that would be an illicit relationship. That would be an ungodly, unclean relationship, and God is not going to accept your worship. He says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Remember back here in chapter 5, we were told how important it was for a man to covet or embrace his own wife and not the wife of somebody else, not to be immoral, not to go out there chasing after some other woman and chasing after some other woman's breast. Those breasts, the breast of his wife should be the only breast that he covets out or he embraces. God does use some language here, but he's giving us the picture of a marriage. And we should be grounded and rooted in our relationship at home. We should be embracing our wives. Men should be embracing their own wives, not the wife of somebody else. Not some other woman, because it's still not yours. If that woman is single, she belongs to God if she's a daughter of God. But if she belonged to another husband, she's still a daughter of God, but she also the wife of another man. This is an illusion of illicit intercourse again. We're told to drink water from our own cistern and running water from our own well. The picture of a relationship, a relationship of love and intimacy. You should not be getting intimacy from no other person but your mate. And children of God, those who are in the church, those that are part of the ecclesia, should not be getting their spiritual intimacy from no other person than God. You should be getting fed spiritually, and you should be getting, like, because we're the bride, we should be getting our love from God Almighty. Because God said you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself, and that is a covenant, that is the Shema, that is the relationship that God has endorsed for us to have. A, with him, the cross is vertical first, up in north and south, and then it's relational, east and west. And God wants us to have a relationship with him, spiritually speaking. This is a spiritual relationship. Having a relationship with him and having a relationship with other believers. There's no false worship here. This is true agape love for our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, but it is a false promise. See, she says, stolen waters are sweet. This is a lie, again, from Lady Folly, from Satan. In other words, if you go chase something that don't belong to you, like David did, remember when David coveted after the general, he covered after after Bathsheba. When David coveted after Bathsheba, this is the same principle. Stolen water is sweet. See, it was no doubt that Bathsheba was fine. She was fine. David was looking down upon her, lusting after her, and when he looked that second time, David gave in to the temptation and called her up. Because he had position. He had a power. I believe the enemy used that at that particular time. Even though David was a man after God's own heart, all of us have had our moments when we gave in to at stolen water or lust after stolen water, something that wasn't ours, especially us men, if we're honest. We have coveted in our mind and maybe in our actions, but we still covet. We looked at somebody else's wife and said, man, she fine. And this is where it says, stolen water, this lady folly, this is Satan with another lie. Stolen water is sweet and bread even in secret is pleasant. In other words, as long as nobody knows, it won't hurt you. See, but guess what? Satan always does what he do. He tempts you and then he tell on you. Don't you know that Satan is the biggest deceiver? Look, not only do he set you up for sin, not only do he bring the sin to your doorstep, then he turns around and gives you the sin, and then sets you up and goes to the Father and says, look at him, God. Look what he's doing. Look what she's doing. I thought they was your children. They sure ain't acting like your children today. Remember, he don't care about us. Satan gives out all kinds of false promises. Lady Folly is a personification of Satan. Therefore, she's giving you a false promise. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Oh, don't ever think that the consequence is not going to come with the lie. Yeah, you might have got away with it today. You might have got away with it last week. You might get away with it for the next 3-4 years. But at the end of it, bread gained by deceit, in other words, covet somebody else's property. Take something that don't belong to you. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man. You know, a thief, when he steals something, he's proud of what he stole a lot of times. I'm talking about professional thieves that don't have no conscience about it. They happy at the fact that they was able to get away with it. He says, but afterward his mouth will be filled with wrath. Proverbs 20:17 says. Proverbs 5:3-5 says, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. In other words, hey, she's selling you this sweet speech. She's giving you all of the things, the trappings, and it's seductive, and it calls you, and she tells you, oh, I'm going to love you like no other loved you before. Or a man, it could be a man. This is not just the immoral woman. It could be the immoral man that seduces the woman. See, the Bible doesn't deal with, it's not biased. It deals with everybody. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. Remember, we talked about how bitter she is. She's ready to hurt you. She's trying to get back at you. She might have been hurt. You know, she could have been abused in some kind of way. This immoral woman is out for revenge. Satan is out for us. He's a father. He's an accuser of the brother. He knows where he's going. He's upset that he's going there. So he's trying to take as many people with him as he can. That's why he says, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. And in the grave, friends, there ain't no more peace. In the grave, you have to deal and own your sin. The consequences of your sin are death. Lady Folly leads us on the road to hell. Because living in foolishness, that's all you got to look forward to. We don't have to. Especially those that's listening right now, we don't have to live in folly. We don't have to live on the road to Lady Folly. We don't have to follow Lady Folly. We need to follow Lady Wisdom. The true promise is unknown to the simple lacking understanding. Proverbs 9:18. But he does not know that the dead are there, that our guests are in the depths of hell. See, this simple person never stood a chance because they took heed to the wrong counsel. They decided that they was gonna listen to Lady Folly, and Lady Folly tripped them up. But hey, the consequences aren't good here. There's some consequences that are too great to pay. You can't pay for these consequences. The true promise is unknown. Our home is the house of the dead. Proverbs 2:18. for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to the return, verse 19, none who go to her return, nor do they gain or regain their path of life. See, once you die, friends, it's over. Once you die, the second death, once you have eternal damnation, there's no hope for that beyond the grave. Nothing you can look forward to. Again, her house is the way of hell. Her feet go down to death, Proverbs 5:5. To death, her steps lay hold of him. See, she knows where she's going. Satan already knows where he's going. Guess what? He's taking as many people as he can. Whether it's a spiritual sin that leads you to hell or a physical sin that leads you to hell, either way, you're going to hell if you follow Lady Folly. But Lady Wisdom is still crying out to you. Lady Wisdom is still calling for the simple and calling you to turn. You don't have to burn. Turn before you burn. That's what Lady Wisdom said. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be, friends. Woman Folly, or Lady Folly, known best for her adulterous ways, promises much but delivers the worst life possible. That much you can bet on. The only promise I'm sure that you will get from Lady Folly is death. Eternal death. Eternal damnation. What can we learn from this? What's the conclusion of this? Whose invitation should we accept? That of Lady Wisdom, who has prepared much and delivers what she promises, or that of Woman Folly, who promises much and delivers the opposite? The choice should be obvious, even to the simple and those who lack or are lacking understanding. Thus ends the Discourse of Solomon, designed to encourage the inquisition or acquisition of wisdom, illustrating the superiority of wisdom over folly. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your time here today, Lord God, as we have been able to glean from your truths, Lord, and hear from the Spirit of God, Lord. We ask right now, Father God, if there's anybody that lacks wisdom and is on the road to folly, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you would bring them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that they may know wisdom and reject folly. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen, amen, and amen. Another great word. As I pray that each and every one of us have gleaned from the truths of this wonderful proverb. Pray that the word has ministered to you. And again, friends, for those that don't know, hey, you can participate. I covet your prayers, and we ask that if the Lord leads you, that you would support the GoFundMe account for this radio ministry, that we can be able to do some things as far as putting together a website and other things that would just pay for airtime on Blog Talk Radio. Again, only if you feel led to do that, carefully consider doing that. Go to GoFundMe. The link is on the top of is in my account on Friend Life, as well as on Periscope. Those who can participate, please, but still pray for us. We're gonna continue to do what God called us to do, regardless. But we just ask for you to prayerfully consider supporting us on a monthly basis, $5 or up, whatever you feel led to do. If you're being blessed, please bless us. And we'll be using those finances for the work of ministry and to be able to put out more and more messages, as well as putting together a website. So I want to thank you guys for your support and your prayers. And again, friends, hey, just be encouraged. Hey, be encouraged. And you know, as we go through these wonderful lessons, and I'm not the greatest teacher here, I pray that you receive what I'm saying here in the spirit of truth. And just pray for me that God will use me to, you know, make my messages would be more clear and more concise and more precise. And I just want you guys to, you know, just keep me in prayer. You know, I get weary sometimes and going through a lot of things, and sometimes, you know, I don't really feel like teaching, but when I start, you know, I'm blessed. I'm glad that I come on afterwards, you know. But just keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer. You know, I need that. I need you guys to stand with me. And because I stand with you, I appreciate every one of you that supports me prayerfully and those that will choose to support me financially. I appreciate it. And, I thank you for your time today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Again, you can follow, get the archives. If you have not listened to the whole entire message here, you can go to Minister Big Ken 65, Minister B-I-G-K-N, the number 65. Just Google that, and it'll take you to the Blog Talk website, and you'll be able to listen to the message there. So God bless each and every one of you. May you have a blessed day. Come check me out on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. We'll be talking soon. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.